Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Rien and company. Ladies and gentlemen, what you see on the screen is not a picture of Rien van Genuchten. You may have figured that out because there is no mustache. This picture is meant to signify the historic importance of this meeting. I had to go back way, way back in the history of the Soil Science Society of America to find an occasion that has the same weight in terms of historical importance as this meeting that we are conducting now. 37 years. The pictures you see on the screen was published in a special issue of Soil Science in 1972 to celebrate the retirement of Richards, L. A. Richards, Lorenzo Adolf Richards, the man of the tensiometer and the pressure plate, the man of the second order nonlinear partial differential equation that carries his name, and in which the unsaturated hydraulic conductivity function plays such a central role. Richards has dominated the field of soil physics all during the middle decades of the 20th century. Before I flip to the next slide, which is a picture of Rien van Genuchten, I would like to use this occasion to offer you my credentials. Richards had a famous PhD student. His name was Bob Miller. Dr. Robert D. Miller became professor of soil physics at Cornell University in Ithaca. And there, Professor Miller had a brilliant PhD student by the name Jerry Bolt. Dr. G. H. Bolt became professor of physics at the University of Wageningen in Holland. And there, Bolt had a PhD student who became professor of soil physics at the University of Guelph in Ontario, Canada. So I hope you accept my credentials as the academic great-grandson of Richards. And now I have to move to the next one, which is the picture of Rien van Genuchten. This picture has dominated the world of soil physics for the past three decades. It is excessively strong and reliable. It has been able to fit moisture retention data so well that everything that we do is soaked in the van Genuchten equation. Also, it is used as the platform from which the great dangerous leap is made from hydrostatics into hydrodynamics. That is something that is fraught with danger. In that leap, there is involved an integration process. And if you dare to make the leap, like off a springboard in a swimming pool, and you are not sure whether there's water in the pool, then, and you actually carry out the integration process, inevitably, you end up in the ballpark of the beta functions. Full of respect for what Rien has done, at this moment, I would like to offer you an alternative. This equation is also a model of the water retention curve. It produces curves that are virtually identical to the van Genuchten equation. I have carried out curve fitting for dozens and dozens of soils, and you cannot see the difference. The curves fall on top of each other. If you do statistics, then you can find minute differences. sometimes the sum of squared errors using the Van Genuchten equation is slightly smaller than using the GG equation. Most of the time, it's the other way around. But that is not the point. This equation is not meant to be an improvement of the Van Genuchten equation. There is a very different reason why I would like you to have a look at this equation. And I wouldn't have dared to put this up if not for that particular other reason. After the curve fitting is done, we are basically done with the hydrostatics of soil water. And then we try to get into the hydrodynamics, the K function. And you can use this equation similarly as the platform or the springboard to make the big jump into the area of hydrodynamics. And if you do that and you follow the same procedures, you follow the same integration process with now this equation inside the integral instead of the Van Genuchten equation, you inevitably end up in the ballpark of the gamma functions. Now, the ballpark of the gamma functions is extremely user-friendly. They really like you there. You can play around in it and have lots of fun. The ballpark of the beta functions is often pretty user-hostile. If you try to throw a curveball in the beta ballpark, you bust your hard drive and your screen goes blank. If you throw a curveball in the gamma ballpark, the screen fills up with absolutely gorgeous curves. I will show you some of these curves later, and they will charm the socks off you. So it is to get out of hydrostatics into the hydrodynamics that I would work from now on with this exponential function. This is, well, go back, go forward. This is the fourth presentation in a series of presentations that started in Salt Lake City in 2006. On many occasions, I have shown you the coincidence of the two models and have talked to you on many occasions about the 20 soils that Pim Reitema examined in the 1960s in great detail and provided all the hydrostatic and hydrodynamic characteristics and parameters for those soils. They represent all the soils that exist in the Netherlands, ranging from dune sand to river basin clay with peat dangling at the bottom because it doesn't fit in the textual triangle. And I personally myself went to the dungeon of the university, of the library of the University of Wageningen, to dig these data up. Well, after having said that we are done with hydrostatics, that is not quite true. There's one thing that soil physicists have ignored so far, and I urge you to work on it. That is the hydrological organization and ranking of soils. You see, when I go back here to Reitema, that they are arranged from lighter soils to heavier soils according to some principle, and I don't know what it was, but it has to do something with texture, either sand content or clay content. But you have three variables there, and then you don't know what to do with peat. So now we have to go on and find a new way of ordering these soils according to a hydrological principle. You can cook up all kinds of principles. One of them would be to take the naked Burdine curve, that'll come up shortly. Naked or bare means without the tortuosity term. And you look for the inflection point, and there you take the relative water content, and then you rank them. And that ranking procedure turns out to be extremely powerful. So when you see, according to that principle, how the soils are moved in position, on the left-hand side you see the Reitema ranking from 1 to 20, And on the right-hand side, and the G numbers are the ranking according to the inflection point of the Burdine curve. And you see that they shove a little bit. The first three soils are still the first three soils, that are the very sandy, light soils. The heavy soils are still all sitting in the bottom, the 19s and the 18s, they are going up and down, except 20, that's the peat soil. The peat soil now gets a legitimate position in the hydrological ranking. It sits now as soil number 12. If you now look at that calculation of how you get this inflection point, then it's quite laborious, you have to do a lot of work. Then you look for something else that you could possibly relate it to. And on back, forwards. And then it turns out that that N power that you see there is very strongly related to that water content at the inflection point of the Bear-Burdine curve. So much so that the almost all curves that are deviant come very close to that curve. And you see the green dot, that is the peat. And the peat also has a legitimate place in the hydrological ranking. So from now on, we may as well use N, which comes directly out of the hydrostatics, as the ranking system. The reason for this ordering is that if we are now going to look at the K functions, the hydrodynamic functions, then they form groups with regular changes. There's a patterns are in there. If you rank them structurally, you don't see the pictures, the patterns, because they're not in the right place. Now, after having done that, we will move to the hydrodynamics. And in this next 5 minutes, you will see a way of fitting the curves that is very good, stunningly good. Now, to do fitting, you can basically choose between two models, the older model, a Burdine 1953, or a more recent model, Moelle 1976. The Burdine model is solely based on physical principles. There's nothing else as physical principles. The Moelle curve is partly based on statistical arguments, but when you compare the two and you leave the so-called tortuosity term out, then you will find very quickly that it doesn't make much difference whether this power here, this 2, sits inside the integral or outside the integral. The results are basically very much the same. So that is not the important difference between the two. The real difference lies in this power here, the 2, which is solely based on physical intuition, or the half, which is based on statistical, on curve matching. It's Marcel Schaap this morning showed that it is the bottom of that curve fitting procedure. Now we are going to do a little bit of generalization of these curves, but inside the curve, there, the H, that contains the integration of the hydrostatic data. And if you now use the exponential curve, then you end up in the ballpark of the gamma functions, and there is no problem. The solution is so easy. There it is. This 2 is, of course, for the Burdine, but if it's a half, then it's for Moelle. This 2 here is for the Burdine. If you put a 1 there, then it's Moelle, but then you have to square the whole thing outside the brackets. Where's my mouse? You have to put a square there. Otherwise, there's no problem. These gamma functions are so accessible nowadays that you can consider this to be an analytical solution. You don't have to look for closed form solutions. You don't have to set any relation between any of the parameters that you have used. This comes straight as an analytical solution, very much like a complementary error function or a log or a sine or whatever. So now you can start playing around with these curves. And if you now do, without any adjustment, you do the Moelle curve and the Burdine curve, then you will see, that the fitting is very bad. The green curve is for Moelle, the black is for Burdine. And these are for the lighter soils. For the heavier soils, they are way down, orders of magnitude. Moelle is a little better here, and it's a little bit worse on the other side, but it's hopeless. So we have to generalize the Burdine curve. So you change this power into a P, and this beta in this 2 into a beta. There is no physical argument whether the tortuosity should be inside the integral or outside the integral. Physical reasoning tells you that it should be inside the integral. But now we leave the possibility open whether it's inside or outside the integral. And there's the solution again. This 2 now becomes a P, and that 2 becomes a beta, and off we go. If you now try to fit hydraulic conductivity data, then you cannot find, for all 20 soils, it's not possible to find a combination of P and beta which covers the whole curve. It doesn't exist for none of the soils. But if you allow for bimodal fitting, so that you use the same solution, the same equation, for the wet part and for the dry part, you can, for all 20 soils, basically fit all the points. So the blue curve is for the wet, the fast water, and the green curve is for the slow water. Here's another soil and another one. And now comes the point, of course, what, once you have the fitting perfectly all right, what are the consequences? Well, the consequences are for the wet part, for the blue curve, you can fit them all almost perfectly, which P is zero. That means that the outside part of the tortuosity doesn't exist. There's a one. All the tortuosity and all the connectivity and everything that you have must be sitting inside the integral. Here's another one. If you now look at the green part, and you say, what do we deduce there? Look at the beta, how the beta reacts. Oh, where's the beta? Oh, there's the beta. The beta is strongly correlated again to N. And you see that 2, which is the value of Burdine, sits is predominantly valued there. But you also have very high values. Back to this graph, I would like to say one personal word to Reem. Reem, I hope you will never forget the mantra that we used when we were students in Wageningen. The mantra that helped us through all the difficulties, through all obstacles, whether they were professional or personal, en de boer, hij ploegde voort. I hope that you will keep on plowing for many years to come. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attention. I hope to see you all next year in Long Beach, California.